frustration or the anger or the resentment, you know, gets stored in that particular organ, which is hollow in nature, and that was the uterus of the female. So right from the beginning, as the girl, you know, evolves into an adolescence, and then she goes into a middle-aged woman, and, you know, as the, she keeps on growing slowly from girl to a womanhood. What happens over here is that she keeps on collecting all the anger, the resentment, the frustrations that she feels, and those are all suppressed in the uterus. And this comes out in the form of menstrual problems, this comes out in the form of fibroid, this comes out in the form of cancer, this comes out in the form of endometriosis. So this is one way of explaining this. The second way is the female, she tries to express her emotions and frustrations through many gallbladder problems also. So gallstones, inflammation of the gallbladder is another particular issue where a woman can, you know, suppress her emotions, or where a woman can have a lot of resentment and anger towards it. And finally, the ovaries. As you know, that the ovaries basically are the organs which manufacture hormones and which also manufacture the egg of a person. So this is a very important part which relates to the desire and the ego. So issues related to ego, issues related to unfulfilled desires will always attack the ovary of a woman. So this was in short which was described by Steiner. And then afterwards, Jungian, the people who follow the Jungian psychology, they usually thought that the woman's monthly period, that is the menstruation, are an expression of femininity, fertility, and receptivity. So when a female menstruates, you know, basically it is a let go, or it is a sort of a, what is known as a self-surrender, or giving out of all your ego and your ego-related issues. So a woman who does not menstruate or who suffers from amenorrhea definitely will have lot of clashes with her ego. That was the explanation given to by the people who followed the Jungian psychology. And those who are having a painful period or a painful menses are in fact finding it painful to be a woman. So from menstrual problem, consequently we can deduce that there are also sexual problems for the protest against the self-surrender. And that is why when a woman suffers from vaginismus, you know, she is not able to surrender completely to her partner because of the ego issues. So this was in short something to do with the emotions and the female organs and the female problems.
I didn't realize you had spent so much time studying Dr. Steiner's work. Do you use a lot of his ideas?
Yes, yes, I use a lot of these ideas, and that is why I use a lot of Iskador therapy in my cancer patients, in female who suffer from advanced cancer. As you know, I did my MD in dissertation with oncology, so I see many cancer patients, and in these cancer patients, I use a lot of Steiner's suggestion as far as the diet is concerned, as far as understanding the mind of a person is concerned. I do use it.
Getting back to the remedies for women, how do you identify common female remedies in your practice?
Yeah. Now see, what happens over here is that, as you know, that in homeopathy we don't have any specific remedies for specific problem. Ultimately you have to understand the person behind the disease, you know, which will really help us to analyze the patient. And the most easiest way to understand the person behind the disease is to try and identify a person either from his dreams or from his delusion. This is the method I apply in understanding the most common female remedies. Now let me give you some examples which can make this point quite clear. I think so we should take a best example is Simi Sifuga. As you know, Simi Sifuga comes from Ranunculaceae family, and it has got a very nice delusion that the person is being encaged in wires, you know, or there is a black heavy cloud settle over the head, or the cloud has enveloped her head. Now what is all this happening in the patient? You know, if you try to have a deeper meaning and understand things behind that, this sensation suggests that the woman has a feeling of being restricted or confined. She feels restricted by the people who are close to her, her parents, her boyfriend, her husband. a very suspicious life partner can totally restrict her freedom. She can feel totally caught up in a situation where she cannot live her life or make her own decisions. Initially, there is a phase of emotional struggle during which she becomes impatient, nervous, restless, and full of fears. But the lack of freedom creates frustration and anxiety. There is a symptom mentioned in the Materia Medica about fear of closed carriages with an impulse to jump out of it. So fear of narrow or closed spaces is also very symbolic of this particular sensation of being enclosed or engaged. So this is one way, you know, I gave you one example over here for the delusion, and I could make you explain this. The second delusion, let us give you another example from a remedy, will be delusion of being trapped. Now, this was not an original rubric, but in the last few years, when I understood many female remedies, I made this particular rubric of a delusion of being trapped. Now, what happens over here is that you have to see certain situation where a woman is trapped due to certain circumstances of her life. Like, for example, she comes from a very poor family, and she is the breadwinner of the family, and then she is doing a job over there, and in the job or at the place of work, she is being abused. She is being abused verbally, she is being abused sexually, but she cannot leave her job, because if she leaves her job, then she cannot earn money for the family. So she accepts the abuse, much against her will, much against her desire. At the same time, she is a bread earner, and she is trying to help her family. So here she is trapped. She cannot resign from that job, because to get a new job is very difficult for her. This is very characteristic of remedies like Ignatia. This is a very characteristic remedy, Naja. Or this is a very characteristic symptom of a remedy, Staphysagria. So delusion of being trapped, you know. So when you study woman remedy, you have to identify certain delusions which will really help you to understand. Another example will be delusion of being raped or dreams of being raped. Now this is very, very characteristic of a remedy, sepia. Now what happens over here is, see, when somebody rapes you, what are you doing? See, you are helpless. This is the exact situation that you will see in sepia. That a person is helpless, the person surrenders and allows the person to dominate over her. In sepia, it is absolute domination by a partner. And why she allows somebody to dominate over her? The most important thing in sepia is that she knows that she is loaded with certain weaknesses. Number one, she knows that she is ugly. Number two, she knows that she is not so attractive. And hence, she has a partner, and she allows that partner to dominate. Because she has a fear that if she does not obey her partner, if she doesn't listen to that partner will go away. That partner will run away. And that is why to hold a partner, she accepts the domination. And this domination will come in the form of what is dreams of being raped.
Farooqi, mostly we're talking about delusions. Are there any dreams that you see that seem to be related to...
Yes, I'll tell you a very nice... I will explain this in a form of a very nice case, and I'll tell you how important is the dream is. See, I had a very middle-aged woman with a very delicate constitution. She was multiparous. She was a teacher in a school. And she was very ambitious. You know, she wanted to do many things in life. But the only obstacle was her menstrual problems. She had a very bad menstrual problems right from the beginning of her life. There were the painful menses. Menses were very profuse. And every cycle she has to remain absent. And sometimes the menstruation will coincide with her workshop or with her conferences, with her seminars, with her examinations. And then she will suffer academically a lot. So this was a very big issue in her life. And she also complained of what is known as a stress headache, just above the frontal region and the occipital region. She was extremely conscious about her figure, her body, and how she looks. So she never wanted to put any extra kilo on her body. And she was quite conscious of what she eats and what she does not eat. And she cannot overeat anything. That was very important, because if she eats anything extra, then she will have severe indigestion problem. And then during the menses, the pain will always radiate from the pelvis down the legs, more so from the posterior part of the legs and not from the anterior part of the legs. And then she has to fold the legs in the abdomen to get relief from the pain. Then when I tried to send her for the investigation, it showed a fibroid, the ultrasonography, and it also showed thickening of the uterus. And here I found out that she also loves to drink ice cold water. She loves ice in any form. Now here the dream comes. She repeatedly sees that she is caught up in a fire in the dream, and she cannot escape from the fire, and ultimately she is burned. Now this was a very recurrent dream that she saw. Of course this fire was not anywhere, but this, what is happening is that she is driving her car and the car sets on fire. Or sometimes she sees that she is visiting a place and that whole place sets on fire. So this fire business was a very strong theme in her case. Now what is over here, fire or being burned or being charred? Actually fire represents, in the term of psychology, anger, resentment and frustration. And you will see that every step of her life there was an anger. She could not achieve what she wanted to do in life. She wanted many children in her life, but she could not get pregnant many times because of this menstrual problem. Most of the time she was under medication, so this was another big frustration in her life. So all this anger, resentment and frustration will go where? This will definitely express in the form of certain dreams. And you will, she also had dreams of flying, and you know, she also had a dreams of flying. Now what is this dreams of flying? Dreams of flying is nothing but over here allowing her expression, allowing her emotions to come up. So it's exactly the opposite thing. In dreams of burn, you see there is a lot of frustration and resentment and anger. In dreams of flying, there is a freedom and independence. So I prescribe her a remedy, Xanthoxylum. It's a very small remedy. But Xanthoxylum has this particular feeling. And if you study this remedy...
So people can hear, because people may not know how that's spelled.
Yeah?
Could you spell it?
Yeah, it is X-A-N.
X-A-N, okay.
Yeah, it is X-A-N, yeah. It is known as Xanthoxylum.
Okay, good.
Xanthoxylum fraxinium is the full name of the remedy. And this particular small remedy, if you study from Ellen's encyclopedia, you'll try to understand exactly how the female appears to be. And I prescribed this remedy to the lady with a very nice and convincing results. You know, slowly her tension headaches became much less, her periods improve, and the best part of it is that the dreams of getting herself burned repeatedly slowly disappeared, her fibroid disappeared, the sonography after 6 months showed complete absence of fibroid, her hormonal levels came back to normal, and it was a very nice case. So being a small remedy, how useful it is to understand this dream business and identify a remedy behind it.
What were the characteristics for the remedy that pointed you in that?
Yeah. The most important characteristic of Xanthoxylum, if you ask me, number one is the menstrual pains. The menstrual pains of Xanthoxylum usually go down the leg, and especially from the posterior part of the leg. So this is very important thing. The second most important thing in Xanthoxylum is that you have to flex your leg in the stomach to get relief from the pain. And the trauma of painful menses is so strong in Xanthoxylum, the pain is so severe that patient has got always a fear of approaching the menses, you know. She will be afraid at least 10 days before the menses. Oh God, the menses is going to come and I am not going to bear the pain. So I have got a strong fear of menses. And the desire for ice, the desire for cold water is another very peculiar cure and a rare symptom of the remedy Xanthoxylum.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So, Farouk, when you're treating women's health issues, are you mostly giving the big Polycrest remedies like Cepia and Pulsatilla?
Yes.
Yes.
Basically, for me, it is I don't differentiate between a small or a big remedy. Any remedy which has a, it should have three things supporting to me. Number one is it should have some characteristic symptoms of the remedy itself. That is very important for me. Secondly, the whole life situation of the patient, right from the childhood till the time I see the patient, should match with the evolution of drugs. This is, Kim, very important that the materia medica that we read today do not have the evolution of a person from childhood till the adulthood. That time dimension is lacking in materia medica. And this is what I want to now put in my materia medica, which I have already done in my children's remedy, that right from the birth the child is born, what do you see and how does the child develops till he is 12 years old and turns into an adolescent. So similarly in a female remedy, you know, by the time she is adolescent and she starts her menstruation, till the time she becomes menopausal, what are the changes in her life? What are the changes in her emotions? What are her, you know, you have to analyze each emotions like anger, weeping, crying, impatientness, hurriedness and all those things. And then the dreams. If everything covers very well, then I look for certain generals of the remedy, which are also very important. And lastly, I give importance to the particular symptoms. So this is how I approach.
And what about some of these smaller remedies that you're using? Do we have a full picture of these yet?
Yeah. I'll give you a very nice example here. Okay. Many times we don't have a full picture, but repeatedly using the small remedies over a period of time, you can collect a good picture. I'll give you a small example. I had a case of a woman who was very terminally ill because of cancer of the uterus. And this particular lady had got a lot of metastasis of the cancer in her pelvis, in her spine, and the doctors had told her that now you won't live long and maybe you should stop taking all the medicine and do some herbal treatment or whatever you feel is good. And I was asked to see this particular lady by her brother, who happens to be my friend. And when I went and see her, when I went and saw her, the most characteristic thing that I found out in her history was that she had a very good appetite. Now, normally with cancer, you lose appetite. You don't have an appetite. But in this particular lady, the brother mentioned to me that her appetite has never been affected ever since she is suffering from cancer. Maybe little less, maybe 10-20% less. But it is the same. Now, this was a very peculiar thing for a homeopathic physician to understand. I said, what was the next problem? The next problem was she was passing a lot of offensive discharge, which was very smarting and burning as it came out of the vagina. And she had a very severe burning pain constantly in the pelvis region. You can say ovary, uterus, vagina, everything put together. She had a very strong burning pain. She had a desire for cold water. So this was another very important symptom that I could get from the patient. So with this particular picture, what should I do? This was the only symptom available in front of me. And she had a bed sore because she could not move for a very long time. So she had a typical bed sore. And but this was the picture basically in front of me. So I took the most characteristic symptom. I took the appetite, which is very strong in this particular lady. Okay. She was a very hot patient and she needed a cold air constantly. So I took hot patient. I took desire for cold water. And then I took the burning, smarting pain. And of course the cancer with all its metastasis. And the remedy that I selected was Lapis Albus. Now this is one of my most favorite small remedy for women, especially when they have cancer. But there has to be a symptom. And the most important symptom that I look for here is the appetite, desire for cold water, and the burning pain. If you have combination of these three strong symptoms, Lapis can give relief to most of the cancer patients. In this particular patient, we started with Lapis in a very low potency. We started with Lapis 6, and we repeatedly gave this remedy once a day, twice a day, and within about 21 days, within 3 weeks, we could control most of her burning pain. In the next 1.5 months, we could control her discharge. For the very first time, she said that now I can sleep very comfortably without pain. Now I can walk comfortably without pain. And for about 5.5 months, we made her absolutely pain-free. She had no burning pain. She had no problem with her discharge. Of course, the cancer remained. And after 6 months, it took a toll on her life and she passed away. But for those 5.5 to 6 months, we made her absolutely pain-free. Now, what are the emotions behind this particular lapis albus? Repeatedly, I have used this remedy. And I have found out that this particular patient resembles calcarea. They are very timid, number one. They are a little coward, number two. And number three, they have a very poor self-confidence. They cannot make decisions properly. And they always hesitate to arrive on any particular decision. So even though these symptoms are not mentioned in the proving, these symptoms are not mentioned in the repertory, but repeatedly using this remedy, and I have seen in the patients that these were the primary and the basic emotions who have been benefited, the patients who have been benefited with lapis albus. So I have this picture of lapis albus in front of me.
And Farooq, is this a remedy you primarily find useful in the end stages of a cancer?
Yes, it is one of the best remedy, I tell you. You know, lapis albus is prepared from the spring water, you know, the mineral water.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from Germany. It comes from the spring of Jestin. And von Grevogel was the first person who introduced this remedy. And I think so, Clark gives a very nice picture of this remedy. And any sort of tumor, cancers, metastasis, especially even when the bones are involved for Hodgkin's disease, it is one of the best remedy. But you should look for this peculiar symptom. And I repeat and I stress, burning pain is very important. Desire for cold water is very important. And look for the appetite. The appetite should give you the clinching clue. That patient should have either a normal appetite, which cannot exist in a cancer patient, or slightly more. You can say a ravenous appetite or something like that. So this is very important. A small woman remedy, but very useful.
Very interesting. So Farooq, I know you don't equate remedies to diseases, but I do know sometimes there are remedies that we commonly think of for certain types of conditions. So I thought perhaps I could name a few common women conditions, and you could tell me some of the remedies that you tend to use more frequently and maybe talk a little bit about them. So how about amenorrhea? Are there any remedies that you find particularly useful for amenorrhea?
For amenorrhea, basically, it is very important for me to find out the cause, why she is amenorrheic. And depending sometimes on the cause, we can give certain remedies. Now, if the amenorrhea is due to complete hormonal failure, means the basic hormones in the persons are absolutely haywire, and as a result of that, if there is a amenorrhea, then I usually think of certain sarcodes like pituitarine or thyroidinum. These are the two sarcodes which I usually think of when there is a problem with lot of hormonal disturbances. Otherwise, I see many cases of amenorrhea in people who are on anti-cancerous drug or in a very high dose of steroids. These people, I try to treat them with corticotropin. You know corticotropinum? Corticotropinum was a remedy which was introduced by Julien, O.A. Julien from France. And I use lot of corticotropinum in patients where the menstruation has been suppressed either by chemotherapeutic agents or by very strong antibiotic. Another very useful remedy which I use in cases of amenorrhea is polygonum hydropiperoids. The spelling is a little difficult. Polygonum hydropiperoids. Pipero, P-I-P-E-R-O-I-D-E-S. This is one of the very useful remedy that I have found in my practice in amenorrhea. Now, what is the characteristic that I look for? Over here, there has to be some abdominal symptom or some gastric symptoms. It has got the symptoms which are very close to China and carbo wedge. Means there is a rubbling, there is a nausea, there is a flatulent colic, the abdomen is extremely distended, If you can get this concomitant, then polygonum is the drug of choice in cases of amenorrhea.
Well, thank you. That was very interesting. What about dysmenorrhea?
Dysmenorrhea, yes. I can discuss some very rare remedies which I use in my practice. The most important one which I am using in my practice is Aquilegia. Now, Aquilegia is a very small remedy given in our Materia Medica. And you should look for, usually, a very important symptom, and that is sadness before menses. If you can find this symptom, sadness before menses, it is very characteristic of this remedy, Aquilegia. It again comes from Ranunculaceae family. Let me tell you, Kim, there are many good remedies from this particular family, Ranunculaceae. Most of them are female remedies. So, and it has got something to do with historical condition. You know, there has to be some historical element in this particular patient where you could use this remedy, Aquilegia. And it is also a very useful remedy for women, you know, at the time of menopause, who have got a lot of problem with nervousness or sleep disorders. And dysmenorrhea, it will give you a very good result. The menstruation usually are very scanty. So that is another very important hint you can take, that the menstruation is a little scanty. Another important remedy which I can think of in this patient of dysmenorrhea is macrotinum. Macrotinum is also very useful in my practice. I look for certain symptoms. You know, macrotin, basically it is prepared from Simisi fuga. It's a resin of Simisi fuga.
Farooqi, it sounds like your phone is kind of, the cord or something is cutting us out a little.
Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
You can hear me?
I can. Kim, are you gone? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Farooq. I think it's Kim that's lost.
Should I continue?
Yes, please do.
Okay. So macrotinum is a drug which is prepared from a resin of Simisi fuga. So it is very, very close to the remedy Simisi fuga. And that is why in macrotinum also you will see a lot of sadness and a lot of melancholy. And intellectually, the macrotinum patient is a little dull, you know. They are not very smart like a Simisi fuga. They are not very loquacious like a Simisi fuga. They have got little weak memory. And they also have sadness during menses. But the characteristic of menstruation is very strong, and that is the menses are very dark and they are very clotted. So if you see a dark and a clotted menses with this type of depression, and that is the melancholic mood with a little weak memory, then I think macrotinum is excellent remedy for painful menstruation. And it will give you a good relief. This is a very small remedy again. Another very important remedy which have been very useful to me is ammonium aceticum. Ammonium aceticum I use for dysmenorrhea in my practice, especially in people who suffer from what is known as diabetes. So basically, we are looking at a woman who are little in their 40s, who have a diabetes, and they have got typical painful menses. The pain starts from the uterus and the ovarian region and goes down into the perineum. This is the direction of ammonium aceticum, that it starts from the uterus and the ovary and goes down deep into the perineum. And as a result of which, the patient cannot sit for long, patient cannot walk for long with this particular painful menstruation. Patient loves lot of warmth and heat around that region to reduce the pain in ammonium aceticum. And of course, the mind of this particular remedy is not at all there because it's a very small remedy. But basically, you should look for the basic symptoms of ammoniums. So I basically try to look for the symptoms of
ammonium for ammonium aceticum. And the most important, of course, will be the conflict with the father. This is very important in ammoniums. The second is the anger and the resentment and the frustrations, which are very strong, especially in the early childhood where there were a lot of restriction and the personality was not allowed to evolve on its own. This is a very strong symptom of ammonium. So these are the small remedies which are used in dysmenorrhea.
Farouk, in the ammonium, will you see the sour disposition that you'll see in some of the other...
Yes, yes. Embitterness, sorry, I forgot to mention this. Embitterness is also equally important in ammonium. So I do see that. I do look for that.
And it being an acid, is it? Do they tend to be weaker than some of the other ammoniums? I know ammoniums in general can be fairly weak.
No.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Farouk, what about women who are trying to get pregnant? Have you had much success using homeopathy to help women who would like to have a child?
Yeah. Now, see, here there are various reasons why a woman doesn't get pregnant. Let's start with those cases where the person is absolutely normal, where in the woman you won't find any disease condition. The reports are normal, the hormone levels are normal, the sonography is normal, the scan is normal, yet the woman cannot get pregnant. Such cases, I feel that one can easily treat them successfully with a constitutional remedy. But of course, here you should make liberal use of intercurrent remedies, especially the nose oats. And the two nose oats which I recommend to you over here, one will be thyroidinum. This is first remedy that you should think of, because what happens over here is that when you examine the thyroid levels in the blood levels will be normal. But many times I have seen that even though the blood levels are normal, a woman may lack, you know, the complete optimum level of thyroid functioning to get herself pregnant. And so sometimes I make use of a thyroidinum as an intercurrent remedy. I just give one dose in 200 potency, wait for a very long time, about month, month and a half, and then see what is the result in the next cycle, whether is she getting pregnant or not. So this is very important that I look for this particular aspect. But if this lady had a history of repeated abortions in the past and now she wants to get pregnant and everything else is normal, then rather I would think of an intercurrent remedy, sifilinum. So either I use sifilinum with a history of abortion or I use thyroidinum. And if you want some good therapeutic hint to select thyroidinum, then you should look for certain symptoms of thyroidinum. This is very important that thyroidinum is one remedy which has got a very nice proving, you know. So it is very important that we try to find out from this what are the exact symptoms of thyroidinum. In thyroidinum, I would look for chronic diarrhea. The stools of thyroidinum patients are really never solid and they are really never well-formed. Easy fatigue is very important symptom in thyroidinum. Tendency to recurrent cold is a very important symptom in thyroidinum. Tendency to develop fibroids in the breast, you know, fibroadenoma or a tumor. If you look in the past history of the female, you will see that during the pregnancy, she had the worst of nausea and vomiting. This is one of the best remedy in homeopathy for vomiting and nausea of pregnancy. So these are the hints that you should pick up from the patient, and patient is usually little obese. So these are the important symptoms which will help you to select thyroidinum as against sifilinum. And if you are going to select sifilinum, then this is a very important hint. Number one is that has to be a history of repeated abortions that you should look for, and chronic neuralgias. This is also very important in sifilinum, especially neuralgias which are worse in the night and which are not responding easily to any medicine that is being given. Now I go to another variety of sterility where there is a definite problem and a woman cannot get pregnant. The most important is, of course, the uterine fibroids, which are intramural, means within the cavity of the uterus, if there are fibroids, then there are fair chances that a woman may not become pregnant. And another condition which I am going to discuss along with that is the polycystic ovarian disease. This is a very, very common cause of sterility in India that I see, that a woman develops multiple cysts in the ovary, and as a result, she cannot get pregnant. Now, in this situation, of course, the approach basically is to select a constitutional remedy and repeatedly give. But you have to give certain remedies sometimes to remove the pathology. And in this particular cases, I try to use Medorinum and Psychotico. These are the two remedies I try to use in my practice, and they really have helped me. Medorinum is one remedy that you should look when there are a lot of psychotic symptoms in the patient. Of course, the classical picture of Medorinum is always there at our disposal. But you should look for chronic neuralgia, morning aggravation of symptom, damp weather aggravation, the typical desires of Medorinum like fish, eye, sweet, sour, salty. All these things should be, you know, there in the patient so that we can give a remedy like a Medorinum. But if you find that typical symptom of Medorinum are lacking, then another remedy, which is a bowel nozot, and that is what is known as a Psychotico. This Psychotico helps to reduce what is known as the cyst in the ovary. Not only that, it tries to even help you to reduce the fibroid. But it has not to be used, mind you, on a specific indication. You should have certain symptoms of Psychotico in the patient. Now, I may just give you a very small background. In Psychotico, most important thing is anticipation. You know, it is a remedy which resembles a little bit of argentum nitricum. So there is an ailment from anticipation. The person is very anxious. The person is very nervous. He keeps on biting the nails, you know. He has got a strong fear of animals, especially the dogs, you know. He cannot stay alone. An extremely fastidious individual who gets excited very, very easily. So in a way, it can also resemble a Nux vomica. They are very sensitive people. They have got a very history of a very chronic migraine. If at all you can get it, it's good. And the cracks, the nose, you know, the corners of the nose has got a lot of cracks. So this is one way to identify them. Or they may have any history of a new growth in the body like polyps, you know, or like adenoids, or like appendix. The face is usually greasy. There are little hairs on unwanted part. Now, this is very important because any people with polycystic ovarian disease will have hair on unwanted parts. So this is one of the useful indication of a Psychotico. These patients, a very small hint I'll give you, cannot digest eggs. So this is very important that you should look for, that eggs in any form aggravates the person. Fat in any form, any fatty food, you know, will aggravate the person in any form. Or cream. Cream can also aggravate the person in any form. So this is a very important hint that I would like to give you to select a remedy, Psychotico. And they have got tendency to produce warts, you know. This is also very important.
Very interesting. I'm just going to ask one more quick question. A number of years ago, I sat in on a seminar with Jeremy Scher, and he was teaching about his remedy salmon, the proving.
Yeah.
At one point, he said that he felt that it was almost a specific for infertility. Have you had any experience using salmon?
No, unfortunately, no.
All right, I was just curious because he had said that, and I don't have any experience, and I haven't heard anybody else using it, but I thought perhaps you'd. I know you experiment with lots of remedies, including the newer ones. I thought perhaps you had tried it. Okay, well, Farouk, thank you for that incredible information. I mean, for me personally, having been involved in homeopathy for 17 years, I just learned a whole bunch about some very interesting remedies for women's issues that I think would be very useful. I'm going to unmute the phone and let other people open it up to the group and let other people ask their questions. So just hold on for a moment.
Spell Psychotico.
Say that again, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
How do you spell that last remedy, Psychotico? Or?
S-Y-C-O-T-I-C-O. Uh-huh. It's a bowel nozot. It's a bowel nozot.
Would you say it again, S-Y-C-O?
S-Y-C-O-T. T for tiger, T-I-C-O.
Oh, Cicato.
Psychotico.
If you look under the bowel nozot, you'll find it.
What's the first letter, is T or F?
F, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I was wondering, Farouk, if you would mention anything about osteoporosis or remedies for that.
See, basically there are no, as you know, specific medicine for osteoporosis in homeopathy. But I will tell you that this is the place where you can look for in the repertory, you know. If you open the chapter of generalities, you will see there is a big rubric on bones complain of, you know. You can look under the bones complain of. So this is one place where you can have a look at it. And another place where you can look over here is what is known as the, in extremities, if you go, and if you go under what is known as a softening, then there is a nice rubric of what is known as softening of bones. So this is also very nice to see about softening of the bones. This is another place. Now, when are you treating a case of osteoporosis, it is very, very important that you give importance to the nutrition. Only homeopathy is definitely not going to help your patients who suffer from osteoporosis. So this is very important. A constitutional homeopathic remedy is equally important. Let me tell you that. It's equally important. And if you are going to ask me certain intercurrent remedies which are useful in cases of osteoporosis, then my first answer would be parathyroidinum. This is one of the best remedy that I have found useful in cases where there is a resistant variety of osteoporosis. Means you have taken so many calcium supplements and nothing is happening to the patient. I think so you should think of a remedy, parathyroidinum. It has got a very nice brewing by Julian in his Materia Medica. You can go through the brewing. And in this way, this is useful. Another intercurrent remedy will be definitely syphilinum. And if a person has taken a lot of radiation or a lot of drugs, and as a result, the calcium has been washed away from the bone, then, of course, corticotropinum is another remedy for such people. But the synthesis repertory is very useful. If you open this certain rubrics, like I told you, softening of the bones in extremities, softening of the bones in generalities, bones in general, if you look under chapters of general, or caries of the bone, or bone brittle, or necrosis of the bone, and rickets, these are the rubrics that will be very useful for you to study osteoporosis.
Thank you, Farouk. I'll unmute it so somebody can ask another question.
Dr. Master, hello.
One question at a time, yes?
Dr. Master, you mentioned the remedy for dysmenorrhea. What was the name? Echinacea? What is it?
Echinacea.
Can you spell it, please?
It starts with the letter
Aquilegia. Aquilegia. Is it vulgaris or canadensis?
Yeah, vulgaris, vulgaris. We have only one Aquilegia. Vulgaris.
Could you spell that again, please?
It's columbine. For those of you who don't know,
it's columbine.
Columbine is a plant. Yes.
How do you spell the Latin name?
Aquilegia. Aquilegia.
A-Q what?
A-Q-U-I-L-E-G-I-A. Okay, other questions?
And how do you spell macrotinum?
M-A-C-R-O-T-I-N-U-M.
That's a V-I? V-I-M-U-N?
C.
Yeah. M-A-C-R-O-T-I-N-U-M. Macrotinum, you will see under semicifuga. You have to open the remedy semicifuga to study this remedy, and it's mentioned there.
Is that in Boriki?
Yeah, it's in Boriki, under semicifuga.
Okay. Other questions?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Did you talk about breast cancer in terms of Rudolf Steiner?
Yeah. Since 1984, I am associated with Lucas Clinic in Switzerland in Arlesheim. where I repeatedly go over there and study the Schedot therapy of cancer, and I also try to study anthroposophical system of medicine. And we treat breast cancer with constitutional homeopathic treatment along with Schedot therapy, and we find the results quite encouraging. That we don't have any specific remedies for breast cancer, but I can talk on breast cancer basically with certain homeopathic remedies which have been very useful to me. And of course, the most important will be Escherichia rubens. I think so. Kim can also tell you a case, a live case which I saw in San Francisco seminar some 4-5 years back. And the patient is doing still very well, where I prescribed to that live case Escherichia rubens. Do you remember, Kim? I don't know whether Kim is online or not, but this particular AD, we had selected Escherichia rubens purely from the symptoms of the mind, her irritability, her nux vomica type of nature, and a strong desire for cheese, and the left-sided breast cancer. And she had a severe burning pain in an advanced breast malignancy, and she was much better after using this particular remedy. Another remedy which I would recommend to you for a breast cancer, which has been very useful to me, is Bufo. Bufo is one remedy you should think of, not only in the cases of mental retardation as it is normally used, but Bufo has got a very nice mental emotional picture which can be very useful to understand the patient's mind. And Bufo can also be used for lymphangitis that follows after the mastectomy, you know, and this keeps on coming repeatedly, you know. The affected arm becomes enlarged, red, and, you know, swollen. So the lymphangitis that follows breast surgery, Bufo is one of the best remedy in homeopathy. And Bufo also helps in malignancy. So this is being very useful to me. And then the pains, you know, of the breast cancer. This is very important, that sometimes the pains are so bad, and I use a very small remedy for such condition known as Lobelia erineus. There are many varieties of Lobelia we use in homeopathy, but the one which I am talking is Lobelia erineus. The spelling is E-R-I-N-U-S. And this is one remedy which I use for pains of cancer. Lobelia erineus is mentioned in Clark if you want to have a detailed account of this particular remedy. And another remedy which has been very useful to me is Skirinum. You know, Skirinum is a remedy, it's a nosode which was introduced by Dr. Burnett. And the cancer has to be very hard, you know, it has to be hard like a stone, you know, where there's a lot of serous formation, where there's a lot of scar tissue. So if you see a lot of scar tissue and scarring within the cancer, and it's very hard, like a stony hard, then I think so this Skirinum is a remedy which can be very useful. In the last stages of breast cancer, a remedy which has been very useful to me was Carbo Animalis. Many patients I have treated with Carbo Animalis in their last stages of cancer. So basically the approach remains, of course, the constitutional, but sometimes I make use of small remedies in cancer. You can hear most of them in my cassettes, which Kim has recorded of my cancer seminar some years back in San Francisco.
Farouk, did you mention Escherichia rubens? I know you had that wonderful Escherichia rubens case where the woman was completely cured with your prescription. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah. You want me to explain that case?
Well, why don't you just tell about the remedy a little bit, because it was such a profound case.
Okay. So you want me to tell something about the remedy?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Of course. See, basically, Escherichia rubens, as you know, is a remedy which is prepared from the fish kingdom, right? And it's an animal kingdom a remedy, and, you know, it's a starfish, you know. Now, the characteristic... the characteristic symptoms, you know, which helps you to identify Escherichia in your practice are the mind symptoms. The most important will be emotional excitement. This is very important, that they can lose their temper, you know, like a, you know, like a in a fraction of a second, you know. So on small things, they can lose their temper. She can become very angry. They can become very irritable. In fact, you can see them under the rubric anger trifles. If you open the rubric anger trifles, you may see this remedy, Asteria rubens, you know. And then, this is a very important thing over there, is that they have somewhere in their body a guilt feeling of what they have done in their life or what has happened to them in their life. Or this is a guilt feeling. And this guilt feeling is usually not expressed directly in the clinical interview, but it is always expressed indirectly in the interview. Like a person may complain to you that he gets a smell which is very dirty in his nose, but actually there is not no dirt around, but still the smell, dirty smell comes from his body. So this is nothing but that dirty smell is nothing but an aspect of guilt in the life of a person. If you look at the delusions in this remedy, this will explain to you what I am talking about the guilt aspect of Asteria rubens. Then basically another very important aspect is the patient is extremely estranged, you know. He's cut off, basically. You won't see this patient very deeply involved with his family, very deeply involved with his friends. It's usually a cut off from everywhere. And secondly, he's sexually never being treated properly. Either there is an element of rape, either there is an element of abuse, or either there is a sexual suppression, and a person has really never enjoyed a proper healthy sex. So the sexual life is absolutely unhealthy and full of problems. Another important thing is that they are extremely impatient individual, and quarrelsome and restless. I think so these are the important things which I have seen them. And then comes very important part of that, and that is the redness. You know, the everything is very red. The affected part is red. The face becomes red when angry. And wherever there is a swelling also, it will be a red swelling. If the throat is involved, it will be red. So everything has to do a lot with the red color and inflammation in various parts. Then you come to what is known as the sexually, they have got, of course, a very strong, insatiable desire for sex. In the breast symptoms, I already explained, it's usually for the left mammae, and the pains are worse in the night, and bony metastasis is very characteristic of, if you see a cancer of a breast with a bony metastasis, I think so, you have banged the right remedy, and that is Asteria rubens. The pains are extremely burning in nature, you know, sharp, cutting, shooting, whatever word you can use. And with the pain, the patient is extremely restless. Another very important thing I have confirmed repeatedly, and they love cold water bath. This is very important in Asteria rubens. They love cold water bath, and cold water gives them a good relief. And they love cheese, as I told you. They love strong cheese. They love feta cheese. In Indian population, we have seen that they love tandoori chicken is one of the desires. They love coffee. So this is also very important. They love spices, pungents, stimulants. This is very important aspect, the desires, you know, somewhat resembling Naxomica. So this is a very small picture of Asteria which I can give you.
Thank you so much, Farooq. So for the people who are on the call, you can probably tell that Dr. Master has an unbelievably deep knowledge of Materia Medica, and basically this information comes from his own clinical practice. And I can tell you that you can bank on this information. You know, when you read his books or hear his teachings and you write down these notes, this is exactly what you will see in practice. It's been confirmed over 25 years by literally tens, hundreds of thousands of practitioners, patients and literally a team of practitioners. So if you have an opportunity, if you haven't seen Dr. Farooq Master, again, he will be at the University of Toronto on September 25th and 26th. The title of the seminar is From Embryo to Adolescence, and he will be discussing and sharing valuable clinical information about the homeopathic treatment of children and adolescents. I'm going to open it up and let people say thank you personally to Dr. Master, and I want to thank everybody for being on the call, and we'll hopefully have another one of these calls in about a month so we can learn more from Dr. Master and his profound knowledge of homeopathy. Hold on.
Very much. It was very, very useful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for up to the time of year.
Hi, thanks. Hi.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.